Go with me to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come and take this moment, this time, and we go before the throne of God. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, God, we ask you to bless here to the uttermost, heal, deliver, set free those that are bound, those that are depressed, whatever their problem may be, whatever their need is. God, let them look to you and let them be blessed. Now enrich your word and anoint it. Double fold is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to look to a second of scripture in Isaiah. And in the 6th chapter of Isaiah, here is the story of where he was touched from a coal off the altar of God. And he said that he was a man of unclean lips. He was unable to go according to the word of God. Verse 8 said, also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Then said I, here I am, Lord, send me. Now, here is an important part of anything we go to do for God. You're going to have to be touched of God first. There are many, many people out here preaching the gospel for filthy lucre's sake or because their mom or dad or somebody wanted them to preach. And one lady told me, she said, I'm going to marry a preacher because they eat steak all day and lay around and do nothing. And a lot of preachers, that's exactly what they do. But if they're really called of God, they're up on their feet doing something for the cause and the purpose of God, doing something for the kingdom of God. And here it makes it clear, this man in the natural, according to the word of God, he was a man, he said it himself. He said, I am a man of unclean lips, in verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And this is when the servant of the Lord, he did fly and he did take the coal and touch his lips. He touched him and he was purged of all his sins. Now, I have found this out in my walk with God. The reason so many people don't want to be around the anointing is because it requires something of them. Here today, if I would change my message and preach anything goes, and I would run the anointing of God out of the midst, I would denounce the anointing of God, all of a sudden this place, we would have to go and open up the wall and go back there and put out hundreds and hundreds more chairs. People like to be where they're comfortable and they don't have to make any commitments. But I preach this and I will still preach it. And as long as I got breath to crawl up to the platform of the pulpit to preach, I will preach this. If you have an experience that has no commitment, it has no sacrifice, and needs not any dedication of any kind, my friend, you do not have salvation. For with salvation, it's going to take a commitment. It's going to take some suffering. It's going to take some enduring. It's going to take all these things. Well, we're seeing in the hour we lived in a country that our leader says that we are no longer a Christian nation. And I simply said, that guy needs to be court-martialed. We need immediately to impeach a president that would have the gall to stand up and say we're no longer a Christian nation. He needs to be impeached. The people of this country need to call their senators and they need to call their House of Representatives and all the folks that go to Washington and make the laws and say, if you don't go to Washington and have this man impeached, we will no longer vote for you and you will be voted out of office. But we're living in a world that people don't have enough God in them. They don't have enough guts. They don't have enough backbone to stand up with anything. And my friend, if you don't know what you stand for, you'll fall for anything. And that's what we're seeing happen. What we're seeing happen in America. Nobody wants to get involved. I hear that statement by so many people. Well, I'd rather not get involved. I'm comfortable where I'm at. You're not going to be comfortable when the flames of hell engulf you in that awful place called hell. Your comfort zone is going to run out. Amen. We need to wake up and realize that we need the fullness of God. But the anointing is what makes the difference. The anointing is what convicts people. You know the story of Paul and Silas locked up in prison at midnight to begin to sing the praises of God. And all of a sudden the Holy Ghost come on the scene. The tumblers in the lock opened and the door sprung open. And here come the keeper, the guard. And here he fall down and he cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" What was it that caused him to be convicted? It was the presence of the Holy Ghost. That's the reason folks as a whole, they want to go to a church that just has a little singing and a little bless me service. And, you know, that's all they want. We need the fullness of God. And we need to be exposed to the anointing of God in the presence of God. It brings on conviction. It brings on a separation from the things of the world and the things of this life. And it brings us to a place. It brought Isaiah to a place as uncleanness had to go. His sin had to go. His iniquity had to go. All that had to go because he'd been touched from a coal off the altar of God. And that's what the church needs today, is a brand new touch from a coal off of the fire of the altar of God. Amen. Every time of the year like this, God always sends afresh an anointing. He all moves in with a fresh anointing for the season. And I believe there's work to be done. I believe we have a responsibility and a job. I believe we have something that we must be about doing. That anointing is spoke of in Isaiah in the 10th chapter in verse 27. It says, "Thou," talks about the yoke, "and his yoke from off thou neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." I've watched this and I know this to be a reality and a fact. The Bible says that Satan is going to try to wear out the saints of the Most High God. Fighting this, the battle, keeps most people busy. They don't never get anything else done. Surviving. Why do you think there's a recession in this country today? There's a recession in this country today to rob the finances of the churches and the ministries and the ministers that's trying to do something for God. I used to take $150 and fill my bus up and go across the country. Go to Florida, $150 down, $150 back. There's a time we used to run down there every 2 weeks and do a meeting or a crusade. It reached the point that it took $900 to go and $900 to come back. And you got there and get a $150 offer. We spent, in one meeting we did across the country, we spent $1,800. And they sent me an expense offer, and the church did, for $150. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that you can't do much of that. We had a guy's book to come in here. He was pulling his bus out of Deep South. His group, they slept on the bus. It's to be in two services in West Virginia and be here. And it was trying to book a fourth service. And the fuel bill was going to cost about $1,400 to pull up here. And maybe a little more than that by the time we got back. But he was estimating somewhere $1,500 to $1,700 for fuel. And one of the larger churches had made him a commitment of $1,500 to help him. He was hoping to pick up a little here and pick up at the other two and have enough just barely get by. The church that was going to pay the $1,500 called him and said, "We've had complications in our church. We cannot honor our commitment. You'll have to reschedule." He called me and he said, "What should I do?" I said, "Stay at home." I said, "You can't spend $1,700 and you're going to get maybe a $200 or $300 offering here and maybe $300 to $500 at the other church." I said, "You can't do that." Now, if God told you to go, I've had God tell me to go somewhere and didn't have a dime. I went to Sandy Springs, Ohio. We stayed up there a week. I got the fuel to get there and hoping to get enough fuel to get back, but I had a credit card. I could put it on if I had to. And we got up there, done the offering. The offering was about, I don't know, a couple $100. The pastor pitched in another $150. When they gave me the offering, it was a check from the pastor and from the church. I think I had about $450 there. We'd spent $1,500 on that meeting. And I was loading equipment under the belly of the Eagle bus. And here come an evangelist that had been in that meeting, was from down in Louisiana. And he handed me what I thought was a business card. And later I stuck it in my pocket and I thought, well, let me see. And because it felt a little thick, and it had a check folded up behind his ministry card. And it was enough to pay the expenses for the entire meeting. And I hollered at him. I said, "Hey, thank you, brother, for the check." He turned around and he said, "The Holy Ghost told me to do that." He said, "You brought revival to this church." He said, "I've been praying for a breakthrough in this church for years, and you brought a Holy Ghost revival here." And he said, "Lord told me to come up here, and you were up here being the meeting, and the Lord told me to bless you because I know the offering wasn't enough to take care of your expenses." If God tells you to go do something, go do it. Don't worry about the price tag. But if God don't tell you, what I'm saying, a lot of the things that we are trying to do for the gospel's sake, there's no funds to do it with. Our ministry as a whole of what we was taking in a few years ago and what we're taking in now is something over 50-some thousand or maybe more on the month that we used to take in, we don't take in. That's a big deficit. Why do you think this is? Because the devil wants to hinder the gospel, but he don't have nothing to stop it with. Because God will have somebody that's got enough guts to stand up and say, "God, touch me one more time." Glory to God. Then God's had some long talks about situations here. Amen. Some real long talks. As I feel, Lord, there's someplace better I can serve you better than I can right here with what I see before me. And he keeps saying, "Stay, stay. And you better listen to the voice of God." But I'm saying, "God, release me and let me move on with my next assignment." But that anointing, the anointing was what made the difference for Isaiah. Here are the same book of Isaiah tells us that anointing is what breaks the yokes. It's what sets the captive free. It's what moves us forward. And here are what we are required to do. The Bible said in Isaiah 58 verse 1, "Cry loud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions." And here Isaiah was speaking and he said, "And to the house of Jacob their sins." That's in Isaiah 58 in verse 1. Then it goes on just a little bit further. And it says this in Isaiah chapter 62 in verse 1. "For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteous therefore go forth as brightness and as the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. Here God is instructing that we have got to move forward in this thing in spite of the obstacles, in spite of whatever, unto all the righteousness go forth in the salvation of the Lord. Then I want to go back to the Isaiah in the 6th chapter, and I want to cover another verse down in the chapter a little further in verse 11. Then said I, Lord, this is Isaiah speaking back to the Lord. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitants and the houses without men and the land be utterly desolate. God is saying to Isaiah, long as the one man left ain't heard this gospel, you go forward. You go forward with it. We have no plans to go back. We have no plans to retreat. But we're going to stay on the front line, and we're going to keep fighting the good fight of faith, and we're not going to waver. Now we jump over in Jeremiah for just a little bit. In the 20th chapter of Jeremiah, and if you've ever been to church more than three times, you've probably heard somebody quote this scripture. It's like a fire shut up in my bones. Heard a many songs sing off of the understanding of this verse. Heard a many messages preached. Got to realize Jeremiah was in a place that he looked at God's people, and, you know, very easily you could use Hillsville for this. Very easily you could say, in Hillsville, Virginia. But here's what it says in verse 9. It says, then I said, I will not mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his words was in my heart a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary of forbearing, and I could not stay. Here Jeremiah said, I had got to the point, I looked at their hard-heartedness, I looked at their backslidingness, I looked at the deadness that was in them, and I'd said, ain't no use. He said, that's a waste of good time. I'm just not going to say anything anymore. I'm not going to preach. I'm not going to witness. I'm not going to say anything. But he said it was something working in me. He said it was a fire down inside of me. This thing was shut up in my bones, and when I tried to stay, when I tried to refrain, when I tried to hold back, when I tried not to speak of the Lord, when I tried not to witness, when I tried not to tell them of their wrongs, when I tried not to preach to them of their backsliding, he said it was a fire shut up in my bones, and I couldn't keep my mouth shut. I had to tell them. I've had the Lord a many, many time. When I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, tell him again. Because I assure you that there's somebody listening to this message. Somebody out there in their home. Somebody out there in their automobile or their business. Somebody out there this morning that's listening to this message. And it's what they need. It's what they need to hear. I have people stop their cars, get out of their car, run in and hug me and say, keep preaching it, Brother Gold. Keep preaching it. That makes you feel good. That encourages you. That strengthens you. That lets you know that somebody needs what God's sending. That you're not wasting your time. It's not all in vain. I remember several years ago at one of our camp meetings for the year, the theme of that meeting, our ministers meeting, the theme, and a lot of the ministers meeting we've not been having because of the expense for the ministers to get here. For a minister to come all the way across the country, maybe five states away, and get a motel room, stay here 2 to 3 days, and the fuel to go back, most of them are struggling to the point their budgets, they just don't have it. So we have for several years not had our minister's convention. We need to go back to them. We need to start having them again every year. But during the severeness of this financial crisis that most churches have been in, I talked to dozens and dozens of them, and a lot of them said, Brother Go, it just breaks your heart, but we can't afford to come. We can't. We worked it every other way to try to make it. And then the big end of our ministers are overseas, and it's impossible for them to come. But anyway, the gospel must be preached. But we said in one of the meetings, we was in, I think, Salem, Virginia that year. We went down that way because all the ministers down that way had been coming up this way, so we went down there one year. And the theme and the message, I ministered the message for the main meeting of that meeting, and the theme was, we got to be faithful for the faithful. Got to be faithful for the faithful. We don't have all of Hillsville in here, but I got to be faithful this morning for the ones that are here. Because God loves you. And those that get by the radio every Sunday morning, every 2:30, we repeat the message of the program at 2:30, and we've had a lot of response on that. They say they really, really like that. Sometimes they don't get to hear them the morning one, but they tune back in at 2:30, and I've got a lot of listeners say we listen to both of them. We just rejoice again the second time when we hear it again. Thank God. But we've got to continue on. And God said to him, how long? When Isaiah asked him, and God said to him, unto the land become utterly desolate. Jeremiah's an example of that. The people were still present, and God would not let him keep his mouth shut. He had to continue on in Jesus' name. Then the Lord, he instructs us that we are to make sure that we don't become weary and well-doing. The Bible says in the 6th chapter of Galatians, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And in verse 9 it simply says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now the key this morning is that we don't faint. Fainting means to become motionless, to fall out and be without motion or movement. God said if you don't faint, in due season you're going to reap. We've got a harvest that we must continue on. And I know sometimes people fret you to the ounce of your life. Excuses. I had somebody call me this morning and make an excuse. Tell me a flim-flam excuse. Well, I've got to do this. I would be there, but I've got to do this. You know what I told them? I said, you know, the rapture may be scheduled to take place this morning. Yeah. I don't know. I'd hate to be making excuse to God when I lived in the world 7 days and didn't have enough God to be involved in 1 hour of his ministering to him. I don't believe you're going to go in the rapture in that case. I don't believe you're going to go. If that's your habit of your life, I don't believe you're going to go. And I know we live in a world that the preacher, everybody's got their toe inside the door, is going to go. But I don't believe that. I believe that if Isaiah, before he could witness for the Lord, had to be touched from a coal off the altar of God, and he had to be ignited by the Spirit of God, I believe we're going to have to be ignited by the Spirit of God. We're going to have to clean up our act. We're going to get rid of the filth. We're going to have to take out the trash. You know? We're going to have to take out the trash. I heard a preacher preach one time a message called Taking Out the Trash. We need to take out the trash. Need to clean it up. Take it out. Get rid of it. And say, Lord, here I am. I don't know what the Lord has for you to do. But I know one thing. He loves you. He saves to the uttermost. He touches with the altar of God. And he left a commandment. Go forth in the testimony of his word until the land become utterly desolate. Till there's no one left. So we got to keep telling them and tell them again. And tell them again, and tell them again, and then tell them again. Because the Bible says God will be, you know, he will be to this point. In that day, man will be without excuse. Man will not be able to stand up and go, well, God, you didn't tell me. Well, nobody ever told me. He said, because of the foolishness of preaching. Like I hear a guy say today, not foolish preaching, but by the foolishness of preaching. The Bible says the preaching of the cross, you know, to the man that's lost, it's a bunch of foolishness. My land, that's crazy. But that we are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. It gives us some more fuel on the fire. It gives us something to go out to the devil and say, hey, listen, you're devil. I ain't giving up. I ain't quitting. I ain't throwing in the towel. I'm an overcomer and I'm victorious. And I'm going forth in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell them again. I'm going to tell that lost loved one again. I'm going to tell that family member again. I'm going to tell that man or woman on the job I work with. I'm going to tell them again that I'm a Christian. I like something my wife does. She meets somebody. There's a lot of people come in through the ministry here. And there's almost not anybody that comes that stays over 5 minutes that she don't get them off the side and give them a testimony. She had two guys yesterday. Off to the side the other day, maybe it was Friday, maybe it was. It was Friday. And she had them off to the side telling them how Jesus had saved her and changed her. And she had done the work that he had done in her life. And them two guys, she had their undivided attention because she requires it, she demands it. If you're determined enough with what you got to say, you will demand somebody's attention. You don't walk up and say, hey, you listen to me. I got something to tell you. But the authority of being touched with that coal off the altar of God. Hit when you speak in that anointing. It demands attention. And I watch people, I've watched some of the wickedest people in this county. Tears just stream down the side of their cheek after she talked to them a few minutes. And you tell them what the Lord has done for her. Have you heard people say, I don't have a testimony? Yeah, you do. If you're saved, you got a testimony. You know the source. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for this hour. This is the day that you have made. And let us rejoice and be glad therein. Lord, I ask you, God, save the backslider, save the sinner. For that man or woman that's weary, God, let them be quickened with a fresh anointing, a fresh coal off the altar of God. And as we see this year unfold, God, let us go forth in the victory that we have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you for healing. Thank you for delivering. Thank you for the power of God that's setting the captives free. Thank you, Lord, for deliverance through the blood in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God love you. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord.